Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse. And here's Mike McIntosh to introduce our program today with his comments about a godly wife.
So now the man that marries a virtuous woman, he doesn't worry just about that she's going to be a desperate housewife or an Orange County housewife or, you know, sleeping around with anybody that comes to the house when he's not there. It's not just that he's at peace that my wife would never commit adultery. He's at peace that his wife will oversee the house and the household and the children and handle investments and have a business mind. And he would be interested in trusting her that if somebody says so-and-so did such and such, he would say, well, that's my wife.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
The Book of Proverbs is our current area of study on CNV, and today we're going to wrap up this book of wisdom looking at a virtuous woman. Last time on our study, we contrasted the difference between Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and Bathsheba, the mother of King Solomon. The same woman, but a complete transformation when God got a hold of her life. And God wants to do the same thing to each one of our lives, no matter how wretched a life we've lived up to at this point. Jesus stands at the door of our hearts asking to come in and change us. Will you let him in? Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs and join Mike McIntosh for the conclusion to this great book of wisdom.
So what it's saying here is that maybe they had at Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon or up in the mountains of in the north of Lebanon, that he had a winter palace and they went skiing and sledding and snowboarding there. And no matter what the weather climate is, this woman is so ahead of not only her household, not only her servants, not only her husband and kids. When it comes to the climate changes, she already has clothes ready and she packs the summer clothes and puts them in the garage and brings out the winter clothes and gets the sweaters and the jackets all lined up in the closets. So she can take care of snow or sun, whatever it is. She just is always thinking. She makes tapestry for herself. The first time we see a virtuous woman doing anything for herself, it's a hobby. Maybe she's going to make a tapestry and hang it on the wall. She's going to give them to her girlfriends or who knows what. Her husband, her clothing is fine linen and purple. Fine linen and purple. Purple is a sign of royalty. And linen says she's very chic. And she's not wrapped up in some hot thing in 110 degree weather in the desert. Linen breathes. She's casual. She's relaxed. But the color tells us the poor people cannot buy purple. They can't afford it. And so she looks like a regal person, the virtuous woman, and a very chic woman. When her husband is brought up, it says he's known in the gates. He's an elder of the city. He's a city council member. He's the mayor. He's a business person. He's respected as a leader of the community. And when he sits among the elders of the land, then it says she makes linen garments and sells them. And then she has a wholesale business supplying sashes to the merchants so they can sell them. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Eternal life is going to come. She'll rejoice. Her children are going to be teenagers. She's going to rejoice that they make it through those years and they get their own virtuous family. And she opens her mouth with wisdom. One of the greatest signs for a virtuous woman is not that she is nagging her husband or her children or riding them or cursing or swearing or using her tongue to be bitter or slash or defeat or to put down or to belittle anyone of her family. She is building her house up with her mouth, not tearing her house down and causing tension. When she's out in the public square, she is always encouraging and lifting up with her tongue. Wisdom flows off of her mouth. And people love to listen to her. And on her tongue is Galatians 5:21, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, gentleness, kindness. The fruit of her tongue is kindness. Now we know a virtuous woman has the Holy Spirit flowing through her, and there's the power. And on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the way of her household. She doesn't watch soap operas and waste her time. She's not eating the bread of idleness. Every moment is filled with productivity and encouragement. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. What a wonderful thing for a mom to have the kids grow up and be older and to honor her. I see it in my own family that our children love Sandy so much and honor her. They come into the house, they'll go to her first. They'll come to me and ask if I've got 20 bucks, but they'll go to her and hug her and talk to her. Now I see it with 18 grandkids. It's Grammy first and then Bapa. Even this weekend I'm honored. I have a granddaughter and her husband spending the weekend with us. And it's just such a joy to see the godliness and see how this older granddaughter interacts with Sandy and puts up with me and my bad humor. It's just wonderful. It's the fruit of a good life that the children are calling the adults blessed. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm's deceitful, and women are trained, use your charm. Use all your movements and the way you smile and your whitened teeth and your, you know, use your charm. No, charm's deceitful. You can manipulate using charm. And so the mother says to the son, no, charm's deceitful. So son, don't just look at her body. And we already learned in the Proverbs that Solomon said, don't let a woman take you with her eyes, gentlemen. All that makeup and the long eyelashes and blinking them at you and making you think you're something. No, don't let her take you. So the mother is saying, charm is deceitful. Well, she knew, because she is a very charming and deceitful woman. And she had been converted by the Lord. The second thing she says, so important, beauty is passing. So don't marry, don't fall in lust because this woman's got the bod. That's going to pass. And you'll be trapped sometime. And you say, what did I marry? And you don't want to do that. You're not looking at the outside. You're looking at the heart. And women, if I can encourage you as a man, the heart is so valuable. And I'll show you just a moment from St. Peter. Now, the interesting thing is how our society has said, change your body. Put yourself under the knife. Go under anesthesiology that could actually kill you and change the way you look. You've been told you don't look like the covers of those magazines, so there's something the matter with you. No, there's not. You know, beauty's passing. It's going to go. Develop what's going to stay for eternity. Charm is deceitful, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You deserve to reap the benefits of being a virtuous woman. Now, if you would go with me for just a couple of moments and I'll let you go. The gospel starts in Asia, but leaving from Jerusalem, a call from Macedonia comes to Paul the Apostle in a vision from a man, come and help us. But the Holy Ghost stopped the church from going anywhere near Asia, made a left turn through Europe, went to the British Isles, came with the early colonizers of America, swept through the United States and through Canada, down to Mexico, South America, and now Asia is the largest, along with Africa, the largest ground of Christians being born again right now. One of the greatest movements on the planet right now is the Dreamers in Iran. God is sending Jesus in visions and dreams to people in their houses, and Muslims are turning by the thousands and thousands to Jesus all throughout Iran. And when these new believers see each other in the marketplace or at business, they look into each other's eyes and they say, you're a dreamer, aren't you? Yes, and they can tell by the Holy Spirit in them. There is no leadership of it. It's happening. They're meeting by the hundreds in secret places, and God is doing a miracle through China right now, in Korea, in Indonesia, all over the Asian area. Millions are turning to Jesus just like that. And the Chinese and the Koreans have back to Jerusalem where they are evangelizing Asia, and the purpose is to get back to Jerusalem, and that'll bring back the Lord Jesus Christ. So here he goes to Macedonia, and in verse 11 it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Thamothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. That's the area, you know, that we just saw battles in. Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. During this time, they must have said, where could we pray with godly people? And here's what they found out. Now, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. They shared the gospel. She was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. She was wealthy. She had employees, and women followed her. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Would you underline that? Who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart. to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, they believed the gospel and got baptized. Notice the word begged. She begged us and said, if you have judged me to be faithful before the Lord, come to my house and stay, and we'll help finance your mission work, and we'll feed you and clothe you while you're in our town. So she persuaded us. This righteous woman just needed somebody to say, it's Jesus who you're looking for. And then she said, you're a godly man. If you can see I'm a virtuous woman before the Lord, then would you allow me to use my money and my influence in this community to open doors for you? Now, that was the city of Thyatira. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Second chapter, book of Revelations. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. About 90 AD, Jesus has resurrected from the dead. John is put on the Isle of Patmos. He has been tried and convicted for being an outspoken Christian. They put him in a boiling vat of oil. The Lord spared him. They brought him out. He wasn't burnt or sinned, so they put him on a volcanic island of Patmos in the Mediterranean, which is still there. Jesus says, here's seven letters that I want you to present to the seven churches that are over the area of Asia. And one of those cities is the city of Thyatira, where a great revival started, and the church began with women. It began with God-fearing, prayerful, word-studying, virtuous women. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works. I know your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. I know everything you're doing as Christians and as a church in Thyatira. And it seems like you're busier at the end here than you were at the beginning. But nevertheless, I have a few things against you. And the main thing that Jesus had against this church was because you allow. Otherwise, there is no righteousness standing up against something that is wrong. The men and the elders and the pastors have been beaten down. You allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now, to you I say, and to the rest of the Christians in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine. The doctrine was, it's okay to call yourself a Christian and have sex outside of marriage. That's a satanic doctrine. It was acceptable in the church for Christians to live together that weren't married. He says this is satanic. It is evil. But to those of you that don't hold this doctrine, he says, that as many as do not hold it and have not known the depths of Satan, that immorality is acceptable, as they say, I'll put no other burden on you, so hold fast what you have till I come. Isn't it interesting that this church, if you were to go to this area of the world today, you wouldn't find. But it was started with a virtuous woman that submitted herself to the authority of the apostle and said, if I'm virtuous and righteous before the Lord, could I be a servant to the work that God's going to do here? And it ended up with a spirit of Jezebel, who was the wife of Ahab, which was a woman with strong domineering tendencies to rule over the man, to control the situation, and to manipulate anything she could to get her way. Very sensual, Jezebel. And you'll remember that it says concerning Jezebel, when Elijah came and called fire from heaven, that she had 350 prophets of Baal, the god of Satan, of worshiping the flesh, of worshiping sex, and everything that's perverted. And Baal, his prophets, 350, sat at her table, which meant she used her money to finance false prophets and false priests and false religions that would destroy the people. The virtuous woman uses her money to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. A great parallel. Now, before you go home, one last little snip, and it's from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, likewise, be submitted to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word, without you ever speaking to your non-believing husband, may be won by the conduct of the wife. That you be so virtuous that this knucklehead would have to, at least on his deathbed, say, Jesus, you've made yourself very real to me all these years through my wife. Could have been the orneriest husband, could have been the meanest husband, most annoying husband, but yet the wife was to submit and bear her cross, because the picture before in the previous verses is, and that's why the word likewise is there, Jesus suffered, likewise wives. Some of your husbands are knuckleheads, and you need to realize you may be the only witness that this knucklehead and hard-headed jerk is ever going to have. And he will stand before God, and God will say, I gave you a virtuous woman. She lived with you all those years in your house. She worked hard. She was always faithful. She never cheated on you. She was wise with your money. And yet, you denied my spirit flowing through her. What a judgment. I see it the other way also, that God would use you, that guy would see, I need Jesus. And the husband is won by the conduct or lifestyle of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You're pure, you're clean, and you are fearful and respectful of the authority of God that he has. Rather, do not let your adornment, your covering of yourself, your appearance, be merely outward. Don't just work on what's on the outside. Arranging of your hair, wearing of gold jewelry, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. This is what she should work on. Now look at this. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit cannot be corrupted. A loud and boisterous and harsh Jezebel spirit is going to be corrupted. But a gentle and a quiet spirit cannot be corrupted, which is very precious in the eyes of God. Now, if God says that a woman that is holy, virtuous, righteous is valuable and precious, ladies, what can a carnal man like ourselves think about you? If a virtuous woman is stunning to the Lord, whoa, imagine the hearts of men when they realize you're different than all the other women. And he closes with this. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women of the Old Testament who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. Son, who can find a virtuous woman? For her value is much more than rubies. Ladies, it's an honor that you would be given this by God. There's no question who can find a virtuous man. But a woman? Boy, it's more than rubies. A woman with a quiet and gentle spirit that is developed inside and not trying to charm or use her beauty to draw attention, but is always giving, always pleasant, and always using wisdom in the sight of God is one of the most valuable treasures on the whole planet. Wow. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I couldn't deliver children. I'm glad I'm a man. But ladies, the standard has been raised. And when Jesus went to the cross, he gave you so much honor that it should blow you away. One day, these perverted leaders came and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery, which means it was one of their friends. They set her up, and they were perverts looking in the window or the door, watching so they could say, caught in the very act. They didn't bring the man. They brought the woman. Moses says, stone such a one. What do you say, Jesus? It shows you how against women they were. And Jesus knelt down. He wrote in the dirt. And he turned around. And he said, first one of you that has never sinned, I want you to cast the first stone. And from the youngest to the oldest male in that crowd, they all split. And Jesus, we have no idea what he wrote. Some say he might have wrote the names of the men in the crowd that had had sex with this woman too. And they didn't want their wives to find out. They split. And he turned and looked up at her and said, five letters. You know what they were? Woman, where are your accusers? And she said four letters. Lord, I have none. All my life, I've looked for a man and I never found him. But I call you Lord. Woman, you're not a harlot, not a tart, you're not a dirty little girl. In God's eyes, you're woman. Now go and sin no more. He didn't beat her up. He didn't give her 12 steps to recovery from being an adulteress. He just said, go forth. On the cross, with nails in his hands, a spear ready to pierce his side, blood and water almost ready to pour out, his back ripped wide open, a crown of thorns on his head, beard plucked from his face beaten with a stick. Isaiah saying, face so marred, visage so marred, you couldn't tell he was a man. In all that pain and agony, with the eyelids drooping and the blood coming down, and looking around, he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His love is so wonderful. But then he, hanging on the cross, looks down and sees Mary, his mother. Woman, behold your son. Not just look at me, what I'm going through. Because it was prophesied when he was dedicated at 8 days old, a sword will pierce your soul, Mary. Turns to John and says, behold your mother. You see, Jesus was the oldest in the family. Joseph was out of the picture. Number one son becomes the head of the household, and he gave honor to woman, and then said to the man he trusts the most, you love my mother, you pay for my mother's bills, you take care of her medicine, you look after her in her old age, and you pray for her and nurture her and keep her before God. Mother, I release my authority to him, and I release you to him. I think it's a big picture. Women, our country, and our church needs you to be virtuous. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, it's an honor that you started us all in this life with a mother. And it's just amazing how you planned it all out. And at the end of the age, one of the things that is being attacked so openly and blatantly, and that reasoning has fallen by the wayside, is the issue of a woman being a woman and a man being a man. And trying to redefine what you orchestrated in your wisdom. We ask a favor of all these women, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Ghost in his power help them rise up several notches towards virtue, to be willing not to be idle, to be willing to be creative, loving and kind and considerate, wise, to study to show themselves approved, to find themselves with other women in prayer, that it would be common knowledge throughout the entire city that these women meet at this spot. It's customary you'd find somebody there seeking God. And Lord, we pray for the families of these virtuous ladies, that you'd give them insight they've never had before of their tongue and the power of their tongue, to help their little girls and little boys grow up to be strong and not browbeaten or lashed out at. To have husbands that are honored and lifted up so that they feel worth something when they go off to business or off to war. To have husbands that would say, wow, my wife, she's outgrowing me spiritually. I've got to get into it with the Lord. And that they would win their husbands that don't even know you, Lord, by their chaste conduct, their fear of you, and that ornament, like a piece of jewelry, of a quiet and gentle spirit. Lord, all of us men stand before you right now and we say, right on. We know that this is something that catches our attention, and it's not the easy people that draw our attention, though we as men know that women that are baser are not really esteemed in our eyes. So help us men to be wise like Solomon, to recognize virtuous women and honor them and respect them. And may these women that stand before you, O God, receive the recompense of their reward for being virtuous, even though they're up late, up early, have lots of responsibility. May they get a kiss on the cheek right now, and may their heart just see that they're doing it for you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh reminding us that God has interest in every area of our lives. In particular, he's concerned with the priorities of our heart and wants to change us through the power of his love and wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit. On the next Chapter and Verse broadcast, we'll forge ahead in our studies with a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And you won't want to miss the practical applications we'll hear about. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete teaching through Proverbs, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. And finally, as we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Join us next time here on CNV as we begin a survey of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter and verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.